insane. That is one of the great comebacks in Calgary Flames history.
Welcome back to the Firestarter Podcast. I'm Ryan Dietrich of CalgaryFlames.com and very pleased to be joined by Noah Hanifin today. Noah, thank you so much for doing this. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Cool. So first off, I want to get your thoughts sort of big picture. A couple of tough losses over the past three games here, but before that, a long winning streak to kind of turn things around. What's been your assessment of the season so far now that we're pretty much at the halfway point?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a little up and down, obviously, throughout the year, but I think we're starting to head in the right direction. I think in the last, 10 to 11 games, we've, there have been a little bit of hiccups here and there, but I think for the most part, we're heading in the right direction. We're starting to play, the way that we think it's going to help us be successful, so.
And for you personally, what's it been like coming in? This is year two. I know coming to a new organization, there's probably some nerves and some adjustments. Your living situation's probably all up in the air, but what's it been like for you?
It's great. I love the city. I love playing for this organization. It's a very close group of guys, and, I think, hopefully we can have success this year. Like I said, I mean, it's a great city to play, and anytime you have to play in a Canadian market, it's pretty special, so it's been a privilege to play here.
I know a lot of the guys, and you mentioned it there, talk about how close this team is, and, I don't know if you always get along with everybody like best friends in terms of the teams you played with over the years, but where does this team compare on all the teams you've been with over the course of
your career? Yeah, it's probably the closest team, I've been a part of, and I think it's just the group of guys, everyone's always with each other, everyone's always spending time with each other, and I think it starts with the leadership, guys like Gio and Bax and Luge and Hammer, all those guys, we're always with each other, we're always spending time together, and I think if you're going to be a successful team, you need to have that bond.
You've been kind of dubbed the international man of mystery. We don't know a whole lot about you, but who do you like to hang out with outside of the rink, or maybe some of the guys in the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty close. I mean, I live in the same building as Johnny, Sam Bennett, Kachuk, so I'm usually with them the most, grabbing dinner with them all the time, and usually hanging out with each other away from the rink, so, but like I said, I mean, you can go out to dinner with anybody on the team. Everyone's always with each other, and we're always spending time with different guys. So it's good in that part.
And on the subject of Matthew Tkachuk, and we'll get to that in a moment, but I want to ask you a little about your time with the U.S. National Development Team. I mean, we've seen the popularity, I think, in many ways of this program grow over the years. You just look at the draft this year, and I think there were six of the first 10 picks or something like that came from that program. But what was your experience like being a part of that and being able to not only grow, but represent your country at the same time.
Yeah, it's a great program. They definitely push you. They push you to be the best player you can be. And obviously, it's tough whenever you move away from home. But I think for me and my personal experience, it was a big time for me to grow and kind of become a man in a sense. And, you're playing with the best players in the country every day. You're practicing with them. And even our team, we had guys, Austin Matthews, Matt Tkachuk, Zach Renske, Charlie McAvoy. Just going against those guys every day at the rink, makes you a better player. And I was very fortunate to be able to play there.
Isn't that kind of crazy, too? You look at their rosters and you'd be hard-pressed to find guys that not only became pro players but, impact players in the NHL nowadays.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, if I look at my team, going from up and down the roster, I mean, I think almost every player on that team is playing in the NHL now. And like you said, they're all doing really well. They're helping their team win. So it's we had a special team there, and it was a special experience, and it's definitely something I'll never forget, especially, being able to represent your country.
On the subject of Chucky, you did get that season with him on the U-17 squad. Was he same old Matthew Tkachuk back then as he is now?
Yeah, it's funny. I've known Matt for a long time. I've known him since, we were probably 8 or 9 years old playing in summer tournaments together. And Big Walt actually coached us in a few of the tournaments himself. Nice. So I've known Matt for a while, but just being able to play with him there, it was a lot of fun. I was pretty close to them. We lived near each other when we were in Ann Arbor. And, he's the same old guy. Loves to have fun at the rink. He's a gamer. He's always competitive. He always wants to push guys in practice and get better. So he was a great teammate to have there.
It's like kind of a dream come true, too, for, a Boston kid to be growing up and playing hockey in the area and going to school there too, kind of doing everything that Boston hockey is so well known for around this world.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it was great. It was such a good experience, and even just playing at going to BC and stuff. I think it's just a big hockey area. They care about their college hockey, and it's a special city to be from, and they love their hockey for sure.
What went into the decision, I guess, first off, with the development team and then to BC? Where were you at in your life and in your career to say, hey, this is the path I want to take?
Yeah, I mean, my first decision was obviously just to go to the U.S. program. I was committed to BC at the time, but I knew I wanted to go there just because I knew a lot of the guys on the team, and I knew it would be a fun experience and also a very beneficial experience. It would make me a lot better as a player and a person. So I wanted to go there, and then once You know, the time, you know, came for me to go to BC. I knew I wanted to play college hockey. You know, I grew up watching college hockey. My grandfather went to BC, and I knew I wanted to do that. You know, I wanted to play there. I wanted to play for Jerry York, and, you know, I definitely don't have any regrets doing that.
College hockey, I mean, when we look at it as Canadians, I don't think Canadians really understand how big it is, but when occasionally you'll see some games on TSN and things like that. But what was it like growing up and maybe going to some of the games and just being a part of those wild crowds? Because it looks insane.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, you just got the whole school there, you know, a lot of the students and the kids around the area, they like to go to the games and watch it. And, you know, I had a great experience, especially being from Boston. You know, you got a lot of good teams from that area, you know, BC, BU, Harvard, Northeastern, all those teams. So there's a lot of good players, a lot of good talent that comes out of those programs. And I think just to be able to play, you know, at BC and play in terms of the Beanpot and playing the NCAAs and stuff like that was a really cool experience.
And, you know, sort of jumping back and forth, but again, the U.S. team too. I mean, that's something that a lot of people don't understand. The competition level is very unique compared to, say, Major Junior up here in Canada. What was it like kind of being a part of that program, but then kind of playing a bunch of different teams and testing yourself against various skill sets?
Yeah, no, it was huge for my development. I think it's kind of the first experience you really get when you leave, like, your hometown and you leave playing the local guys. You know, you get to see what's out there and you get to see the talent out there, and you really know what you're up against at that point. So I think that was really good for not only me but for every player, just to see that and kind of, you know, be humbled a little bit and realize that you have to put a lot of hard work in to get to that next level.
Through four decades, our passion has never wavered. It unites us. It defines us. It is who we are. Like an eternal flame, together in red. We continue to fuel the fire for our 40th season and beyond. Because there is only one Sea of Red, and it lives here.
Who's been maybe your biggest mentor over the course of your life so far?
I've had a lot in different ways. You know, I'm probably closer with my dad. Obviously, I talk to him on the phone every day, and he's, you know, the one guy that's been there my whole life. He's seen all my games, so he knows me in and out. And, you know, I usually rely on him to give me my feedback for stuff, whether it's personal or hockey. So I'd say he's probably been my biggest mentor.
Oh, that's cool. So you do talk to him after, maybe not after every game, but every day?
Yeah, well, it's a little late. Game time's here a little late in Boston, so sometimes he's sleeping after games. But I do talk to him pretty much daily, and you know, he definitely doesn't miss any of my games.
Does he give you the gears a little bit too, or is he a little bit softer?
No, he just lets me know how it is. You know, he's, like I said, you know, since I first put on my skates and started playing, you know, he was there and watching me, so he knows, you know, when I'm playing good, when I'm not playing so good, and he just tries to give me my feedback, and, you know, I trust him.
I mean, on the subject of family, it's that time of year. We're like really close to Christmas now, and that also means World Juniors time, so you have an experience with that. And as a fan growing up, I'm sure watching the games, what did it mean to you to then represent your country on that stage and playing a big rink like the Bell Center too? Because that year especially was just on a different level.
Yeah, no, it was a cool, you know, it was a really good experience. And, you know, like I said, I think for both, you know, I mean, all hockey fans around the world, I think the World Juniors is obviously a huge tournament, and it's a fun thing to be a part of. And I knew I grew up watching since I was a little kid, and, you know, right around Christmas time, it's just a fun time of the year. You really feel like it's hockey season when the World Juniors comes around. And, you know, for me in particular, I got to play, you know, like you said, in Montreal at the Bell Center and playing Canada on New Year's Eve. It was just a special experience. And I thought that was probably my first, like, real exposure to, like, big level hockey and playing on a big stage. And, It was a lot of fun.
I mean, we see you guys now. I mean, you play in front of some big crowds, and there's pressure involved with that too. But did that experience sort of help calm the nerves after that, because you get it at such a young age?
Yeah, I mean, that was by far not even close the biggest. You know, when I played Canada on New Year's Eve in Montreal, you know, it was a packed house. It was loud. And I've never seen anything, you know, close to that before. So that was my first, like I said, real experience playing in front of, you know, a really big crowd. So definitely I won't forget that. And, you know, I wish we got the win in that game, but yeah, it was still a special experience.
I mean, Montreal in general, it just has a different feel to it. Mm-hmm. Even being in the NHL, where does the Bell Center kind of rank in your list of favorite road cities?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably up there. You know, it's a legendary rank, and it's a tough arena to play in if you're the road team. But, you know, Montreal is obviously a huge hockey city, so it's definitely cool to play in that building.
So heading out on the road here for a couple before Christmas, kind of a different schedule this year. It's not really that long of a break with road games on either side of the Christmas break, but you finish up in Minnesota, so I guess you're partially out east. Does that help you maybe get home for a couple of days and rest up?
Yeah, I'm going to try to go home for a couple of days just to see my family. You know, I have a younger brother and sister that are still in high school, so I don't get to see them too much. So anytime I get an opportunity to go home and see them, I'll try to take advantage of it. So I'm going to go home for 2 days and then right back at it with a big game, obviously, against Edmonton coming back.
Is it almost hard to keep focus at this time of year too, because there's a lot going on, but maybe it's a little bit easier as the road team can kind of get away from it a little bit? Or how do you see it?
No, I think it's our job, you know, just to stay focused. And sometimes, you know, it is a long season, you play a lot of games, so it can get pretty draining at times. But I think it's our job, you know, this is our job, this is what we got to do. And you know, you got to stay focused, you got to show up every day and do your job and work hard no matter what the outcome is, no matter how your season's going. You got to show up and you got to make sure you're putting your work in.
Sort of unrelated to anything, but I have to ask you, we've seen it a few times, this celebration that Luch and Andy have going on right now. I think a lot of us on this side of the glass see it as a nod to NHL 94 because it's the greatest game of all time, but some people are also saying maybe it's a Star Wars thing. Do you know where that came from?
I actually don't. I think it's a little secret between them, but okay. I think it's a lot of fun, but I haven't heard anything, no.
Okay, all right. Well, it didn't apparently happen in the video game, but we'll keep digging. I asked you actually many years ago at the draft if you were kind of a gamer, and I know you said you did play the NHL games growing up. Are you still a gamer that way? Do you like to kill time that way?
Honestly, I'm not really a huge Xbox guy. I don't really play too much. Some of the guys, they try and get me going on it because they play together online all the time. But I may give it a try here or there. But I'm usually I usually watch movies or shows when I'm bored.
Is that what you like to do on road trips too, kind of?
Yeah, I mean, on road trips, yeah. I mean, usually with the guys, you're traveling, but then at night, you know, when you're kind of chilling, I'll throw on, like usually a flick or a show or something. So
yeah. Well, we're close to the mountains here in Calgary, too. That's obviously one of the things that everybody likes to talk about. But how do you like to spend your off days when you do get, you know, it's a condensed schedule, but when you do get some downtime in the city?
Yeah, I mean, depends. Usually if I'm by myself, I'll usually just hang out with the guys. But if I have some company in town or someone visiting, you know, I'll maybe if I have a couple of days, I'll try to go to Banff or something like that and kind of get away from the city and just be out in the mountains a little bit. I think it's good to relax and recover in that way. So, but usually for the most part, you're just trying to do what you can to recover and get ready for your next practice, your next game.
Has that almost changed in the way that players prepare themselves nowadays? I mean, it just seems like training and nutrition, it's so regimented nowadays, you can't really get away from it. Is there really such a thing as a full off day anymore during the season?
Yeah, no, there is for sure. But like you said, it's going to be kind of like a recovery off day.
Right.
You know, when you do get those off days, they don't come too much. When you do get them, it's your job kind of just to make sure you're taking care of yourself and taking care of your body so that you are getting the proper rest and recovery, because like I said, it's a really long season. It can be draining at times. So when you do get those days, you want to take advantage of them.
When you say recovery, is it really about rest, or do you hit the gym outside of the rink, or what do you try to do?
Yeah, I mean, different. I mean, sometimes just go for a walk or something, but usually just trying to rest and get some sleep and kind of just, like I said, lounge a little bit and maybe hang out with some of the guys, but nothing too crazy. You don't want to, you know, be going out moving around too much. You want to take it. You do that enough during the season.
Yeah,
so.
Great stuff, Noah. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And fans, thank you for joining us on episode 9 of the Firestarter Podcast. We'll see you next week.